The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Yo, yo, welcome to another killer Kiefer and Curry show. We do it at least once a week. And of course, don't forget now, Kip Kiefer's got another show here on TKR and also on the Tony Curry Radio Podcast Network called Need to Know. It's all Kip for about 30 minutes. Fantastic show. So he's on here twice. Kip, we always speak during the week, and you come up with a topic 1 week, and then I come back, and this is my topic this week. And I want to get into sportsmanship. Now, when I say sportsmanship, before I actually get into my monologue here a little bit, what's your thoughts when I say sportsmanship?
I think it's the first thing I think of is a great concept. It's great that compete in sports and have respect for your opponent and their abilities and their effort. Yeah. But I don't think in this day and age that's real. It's not extremely realistic right now, because I think as a society and with regard for others, we've kind of lost the ability to respect others and appreciate their efforts. And I think sportsmanship is in a really tough period right now. And I think there's a lot of events we can point to illustrate that allegation.
Oh, and see, this is why I love doing the show with you, because I knew you'd have a take on this, and I have to rub it off on you to see where your thoughts are. The fact that you called sportsmanship a concept is exactly where I'm going. So I'm at the Cincinnati Reds opening day game this past Thursday. First time I went to a home opening game for the Cincinnati Reds in my entire life. I'm a Cincinnati fan. I took my 18-year-old son up there. It was great. We had a wonderful time. They lost, although they won three straight after. And so two rows in front of me, there's this guy, who looks like he probably weighs about 150. He's about 45 years of age. He's got to get the burr cut. And he's just all mouth. And so every time there's a strikeout for the, Pittsburgh Pirates, he gives the left, right, left, right, left, right, sit down. And of course, on this remarkable day, despite the fact they lost, the Reds struck out 11 Pittsburgh Pirates. So we had to hear this over and over and over again. And he's throwing out the stuff at the umps, you know. And he's not dropping any F-bombs. He's not cussing. He doesn't look like he's drinking a whole lot. He's just annoying. He's annoying as hell. Even his wife, who's sitting three people down from him, there's probably a reason for that, she's kind of tapping him, putting her fingers to her lips like, shh, you know, chill out. There was a guy sitting next to him that was kind of egging it on. Then Saturday, I get home, and I went to Herdmont Park to walk my dogs, and there was a little league game going on. I'd say it's probably 6, 7, 8-year-olds. And there was quite a few people in the stands, and it was right up, it was the ballpark right up against the street where the outfield fence comes right up against 119. And a kid goes yard, and he's rounding the bases kind of slowly, and then when he's going from third to home, he's making some type of hand gesture to the opposing pitcher, and he's walking sideways. He's kind of scooting down the line. He's not running down the line. He's scooting side to side. You know what I mean? And he's shuffling down the side. And I'm looking in the stands, and this man gets out of the stands, and it had to be his father, went down into the box, grabbed his son by the back of the shirt, and wore his ass out in front of everybody.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, wow. I didn't know what was worse, the fact that his father was wearing him out in front of everybody, or the fact that it was super cool to see a father say, "We don't do that. That's not sportsmanship. You're 8 years old. You don't show up the other side. You just hit a home run. You did a great job, but we don't do those type of things." So yeah, the fact that you're saying this is somewhat of a concept. And then what happens this over this weekend? This Caitlin Carter gal, who's been playing lights out, she goes for 41 against South Carolina. They lose, of course, against LSU last night. We're recording the show on a Tuesday. After she beats South Carolina, she starts running the sidelines of the basketball court with her fingers up in the air. I'm not sure what she was doing. I don't know if she was throwing a three or a four or whatever, and just hooping and hollering, putting her arms up, and her teammates are nowhere to be found. And I didn't know if she was egging them on. I didn't know if she was like, "Come on, let's get into it." It was just, it made me feel uncomfortable. And then you saw it, I saw it, and 10 million other people saw it. And that, of course, was the most watched women's national championship game we've ever had between Iowa and LSU. You see Angel Reese, who did the John Cena thing right in her face after the game, you can't see me thing, and then starts pointing to her finger and mocking her. And it just really felt nasty and dirty to me. And I'm thinking to myself, am I feeling this way because I'm watching women do it? Am I feeling this way because I'm getting older and just don't appreciate the fact that it's the look at me, look at me, look at me, me, look at me, me, me situation in sports right now? And I've always been taught, you know, you act like you've been there before. You just beat them senselessly on a baseball field or a football field or a soccer field, and that's enough, and you walk off and you congratulate. The one thing, and I know I'm rolling here, but Kip, the one thing I love about sports is you can just lay it out, put it all out there on a field, and then afterwards, what do? We shake hands. We say, good game, and I'll see you next Saturday. And I just have a feeling that it's going by the wayside because it's such a me, 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 look at me, look at me. Donald Trump said it in The Art of the Deal, man. Sometimes bad publicity is better than no publicity at all. I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, I mean, all the points you're making are hitting home for me, Tony. I think in light of, I was shocked. I'm gonna go ahead and make a stunning admission here that I don't think anybody's going to be surprised of. During the regular season, there's so much sports overload. Call me whatever you want to call me, but I don't watch a single minute of women's basketball during the season, the regular season. There's just too much else to watch. It's overlapped by the end of football season, of course, and the men's game and the NBA. And then our family, in fact, we'll be in Nashville tonight. The Las Vegas Golden Knights, which is our other home base, are in Nashville to play the Predators tonight.
Nice, nice.
So we and it's my son's birthday, and that's what he wants to do.
Awesome.
So we are hockey folks as well. So there's so much sports overload. I don't watch any women's basketball during the year. I was absolutely stunned at the punkish behavior by teams in those couple of, in the final four of all things. And I don't know if they're acting out or if the women's game has just grown to a point where, you know, they're mimicking some of the things that they've seen growing up of people acting, you know, boorishly on the court, mostly, you know, men, of course, being the example that they've probably all witnessed. But I was actually really surprised at the lack of respect teams had for each other. And, you know, South Carolina was an undefeated team, had just had a tremendous run. Clark had a fantastic tournament, became a superstar overnight. But to behave badly and then have it reflected right back on her. And I got to give some of the, and I don't know a lot about her. I know Kim Mulkey is a Duke graduate, won a national championship with Baylor, the coach for LSU, with Brittany Griner on her team, who was 6'9" or whatever. And so I don't know what a great coaching accomplishment that was. But I thought Mulkey was kind of an interesting character. And I think your team sometimes reflects its leadership. And she seemed to be all over the officials. Clark got in foul trouble. And I think a lot of it was Mulkey kind of influencing the officials. It was like Bobby Knight in a shiny tiger striped dress. But I think some of the behavior on some of the teams is a little bit of a reflection of their coaches normally. And it's a disturbing era for me, because I think the beauty of sports, like you said, is going out and giving all you have and getting the most out of your teams. But all this trash talking is fine. But when it just becomes an outward display of showing people up, you know, the old adage in baseball, you mentioned the Reds opener. For years and years, you could basically run the umpire through the ringer in terms of your displeasure, as long as you didn't turn around or gesture, as long as it wasn't visible. You could talk all day in the batter's box as long as you were looking straight ahead, telling him what, you know, whatever list of expletives you want to list for a bad strike call or whatever. But if you turned around and looked at him or gestured, then you got rung up and thrown out of the game because you don't show people up. And that adage in sports to me is starting to go by the wayside, and I think it's really unfortunate.
You don't show people up. We have taunting rules in every sport. In every sport, you have taunting rules in the National Football League, and we have 35-year-old tackling 34-year-olds. These are mature men. Now, to get to the Mulkey situation, it was funny because you're so right. I was sitting there watching her get into the refs, and I looked at my son and I said, "I've never seen a woman ever act like that." And then I remembered I was married. And I was like, and he's like, "Mom, what about mom?" I was like, "That's a good point." but we're not used to seeing that type of behavior. The thing about Angel Reese, and this is the kind of thing that kind of put it over the top for me, because we had actually discussed this topic before I actually saw her play last night. And when I see her doing the thing, I'm like, please don't do that. And of course, the cameras are all on here. She was the MVP of the national championship game. She came out and said, "All year I was critiqued for who I was. I don't fit the narrative. I don't fit the box y'all want me to be in. I'm too hood. I'm too ghetto. Y'all told me that all year. But when other people do it, y'all don't say anything. So this is for the girls that look like me, for those that want to speak up for when they believe in something. It's unapologetically you. And that's what I did for tonight. It was bigger than me tonight. And Twitter's going to be going to rage every time." I like to look at both sides of everything. And I like to, if I totally disagree with something you're saying, I will try to understand why you see it the way you do. Maybe in you talk about the concept of sportsmanship, maybe in this world we live in right now, where things can go viral and one day one person may see you in the next 10 million, maybe you take your shot when you have it. I didn't know who the hell Richard Sherman was until that Super Bowl. When he went off on camera, I didn't. And I watched the NFL every week and I got Red Zone. I knew of him, but I didn't know he was rich. And I remember Richard Sherman, and that thing went viral. Everyone was talking about it. Of course, now he had to play up to that standard, and he did for the most part. But, you know, you and I have been watching sports and covering sports for a long time. Roger Federer, Kawhi Leonard, I'd never seen him get angry. Lindsey Vonn, class. Jordan Spieth, we're getting ready for the Masters this weekend. The dude is, what, 25, 26 years old? He's already won 3 majors. I've never seen him get in the face. Now, you know, maybe under their breath, they're trash talking. I don't know what happens on a golf course or on a basketball court. J.J. Watt, you're a soccer. Sidney Crosby. Humble. He's one of the greatest hockey players we've ever seen, and he's humble, and he's classy, and he appreciates where he's at and what he's doing in his life, and he doesn't need to absolutely mock the other side after they win. Maybe it's because Mike Trout, you know, we're watching Major League Baseball. Mike Trout's another one of those guys, just goes with his business, is making millions of dollars, and doesn't need to mock or give anyone bulletin board material. I just don't like where it's going right now.
Yeah, I think you can really kind of put your finger on this being a societal problem more than a sports problem. Mm-hmm. I just think people don't have respect for one another like they should, I don't want to sound like, the Ancient Mariner here and say, you know, back in the old days, but because trash talking and I guess maybe this is a bad way to frame it, but good natured ribbing of your opponent has always been around, but I think we've taken it to a new level here. And I had not seen the quotes from Angel Reese that you just mentioned, but I think that really frames this whole thing that, this is who I am. This is, my personality. I'm not going to conceal, who I really am. And she's showcasing something mm-hmm. that I think is really disturbing. That basically, I'm me and I'm going to do what I want and I don't have any respect for you or your opinion. There's no effort on a lot of people that get in the public eye now of having and displaying class and sportsmanship and respect. It's almost like you'd rather project the opposite. And I just think that's very disturbing.
Well, there's an underlying anger there. That volcano sat dormant for quite some time until she had the stage and she blew up. And she said that on the podium right after the game last night. And
wow.
I don't know what she's talking about. I don't know what this hood thing is. I don't know what this ghetto thing is. If you watch women's basketball or men's basketball, hell, 63% of the NBA is black. And I don't see it. I don't understand it. I love it for the sport. I love it for, she's a hell of a basketball player. And that's what I want to remember. And she's probably going to be playing at the WNBA level. And I'm thinking to myself, where is this coming from? Where is this anger coming from? I tried to look up some things this morning in lieu of the show and getting ready for it and just trying to find out, did someone say something about her from her local newspaper? Or did someone say something nationally saying she doesn't have the look of college basketball for women? She is college basketball.
Yeah.
She, if anything, Caitlin Carter is the one that doesn't look like she belongs. She's tall, but she's skinny. She's scrawny. I'm kind of like, who is this woman? And she's popping threes left and right. So I don't know where that's coming from. You know, we live in this, crazy world where everyone is saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. You have a Facebook page. You have numerous Facebook pages. I do too. I am not a person that gets on social media a lot because, you know, I'll post pictures of my family or post pictures of something I see that I think is funny. But whenever I'm posting something and I'm expecting people to look at me, look at me, look at me, look at, I'm doing something funny. I'm doing something funny. I don't put it up anymore. And it's because I don't know the gist of it. Again, if I'm trying to build ownership and listenership of this business of TKR, which I do, I post things that have to do with the radio station, the shows, and the music we play. But when it's all about me, again, maybe it's just because I'm getting older and getting a little wiser. And Kip, I try to remember too, we're talking 18 to 24 year olds.
Yeah.
You know, how damn stupid were we when we were 18, 19, and 20? And I was never in a situation where I was on a stage in Houston or Las Vegas or anywhere else in front of 30,000 fans and just hit a bucket to win a national title. So I can't say I would react the same way. I know I did some really dumb things, even probably through my 40s. So I try to give a little respect there and a little understanding. The other thing that came out of all of this, and I don't know if you saw this because I know you talk a lot of politics on Need to Know. Joe Biden is obviously going to invite the women's basketball team, LSU, to the White House. Well, Joe, who I heard you talk yesterday about chocolate chip ice cream and everything else, said, well, wouldn't it be nice if we invited both basketball teams? Since they were such a wonderful representation of what women's sports and sportsmanship is all about, wouldn't it be nice if Iowa and LSU were invited to the White House? And Jill said, well, let me think about it. Well, Angel Reese gets a hold of this, and she writes in Twitter in all caps, this is a joke. We not going. To which our coach came out and said, listen, if they invite us to the White House, we're going to go regardless of whoever's invited to the White House again. And that's probably a different show for a different time. Back in my time, you respected the office, not necessarily who is in the office at the time. If you got invited to the White House, whether you're Democrat, Republican, or anything else, you went because it was an honor to go to your country's capital and be able to get inside those walls. And you're like, wow, what a great opportunity. I may not like the way you're running the country, but damn it, I'm going to go check out the White House. And now people are like, screw you. I don't like your policies, and I don't like the fact you're going to be inviting Iowa along, so we're not coming. I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah, it's really pathetic, you know, because the accomplishment that Iowa deserves to be there because, you know, all due respect to LSU, they're the champion, but Iowa cleared the path by knocking out the undefeated elite team in women's college basketball for the last couple of years. So that accomplishment alone deserves unbelievable recognition, even from the LSU players, because they should be able to recognize what an accomplishment that was. LSU only lost a couple of games this year, but when they played South Carolina, they lost.
Yeah.
So Iowa did something that even the national champions didn't do. And Tony, I think both of us and all of our listeners appreciate this fact. Accomplishing something monumental like that on Friday night that Iowa did, that nobody expected and was completely improbable. And Caitlin Clark's performance, of course, was monumental in that upset. You know, I think that it's really difficult after you beat a team like that. I think if you go back and trace the history of sports, it's very difficult to win the next game, even if it's for the national championship, if you've accomplished something stunning like that. Yep. I mean, I think back to the glorious 1980 Hockey Olympics when the U.S. beat the Soviets, which nobody thought possible. A lot of people forget that they had to play 2 days later against Finland, actually, for the gold medal, and they barely won that game in a real sweater, 4-3, to win the gold medal. But if, had they lost to Finland and only been the silver medalist, I mean, everybody would remember the unbelievable upset against the Russian. Do you believe in miracles? That was a young Al Michaels, by the way, which I find incredible. Al Michaels still in his 70s, because that was in 1980. That was 40 years ago. He was on the call of that game. But that's just a little side note. But my point is, I think if you go back in the history of sports, when you win a game like that, it is very difficult to come right back 2 days later and take care of the rest of your business.
That's probably why I had LSU plus +3 in that game last night. I can't believe that I gambled on women's basketball.
Hey, man.
But
you're abroad, Nick, Tony.
Well, it goes along to your exact philosophy, because I knew the line was going to be pushed Iowa's way because of Caitlin and what they had just done. And sometimes you see teams peter out. And by the way, Al Michaels, also the play-by-play for the Cincinnati Reds before he became super famous before Marty and Joe. And gosh, I'd love to have heard him do
some great Marty Brenneman.
So to kind of go along with that, back to the Angel Reese situation, she also then retweeted to one Michelle Obama, "Hey, do you mind if we come to your house instead?" And maybe it's a black thing, whatever. I here's the thing, is what I saw this past week in women's basketball, is it going to make me want to watch women's basketball even 1% more than I had in the past? And the answer is yes. I know that it is rambunctious. I know that it's unsportsmanlike. I know there's a lot of drama to it. But that's what we're drawn to these days. We love train wrecks, man. We don't want to see videos of sunrises. We want to see train wrecks. And I think that's probably another reason. And it's bringing a lot of notoriety to their sport right now. I was, before we were talking about sportsmanship, I was actually thinking about bringing up the idea of where exactly women's sports are now in our society. And I think they have come, and certainly Title IX was a big part of that, but I think women's sports are so much bigger than they were even 10 years ago. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that there's more eyeballs, there's a lot more content, there's a lot more platforms to be watching sports. You know, we used to have women's sports, you know, you look at Wimbledon, they still have the finals on Saturday, the men's is on Sunday. You know, women's finals are always the day before the men's, because we know there's going to be more eyes on men's, and it's more prevalent, period. More people are going to be watching men's sports than they are women's sports. But I want to say even 5 years ago, like the national championship game for women was like on an ESPNU, or it was on some type of Tubu or Roku, or you couldn't even find the game. And now, of course, it's on ESPN, and this past week it was on ABC television. So I think they've done a fantastic job at being more inclusive there for women's sports. I think it's wonderful. I think it gives us great things to watch. I can be honest with you, I saw the over under 156 for this game last night, and I'm like, I'm in. I'm watching. I don't want to watch a 40-35 game. I don't like low scoring games, but if you're going to throw me a high scoring game and people are going to be whipping the ball up left and right every 3 seconds, I'm in. And it was an entertaining game. I mean, LSU put up 102. Pretty amazing stuff.
Yeah, that alone is remarkable, because that destroys one of the stereotypes of women's basketball, that it's going to be a grind out, you know, game where nobody can make a shot. And like you said, it's going to be 50-48 is your expectation. So that's what really got my attention. LSU getting into triple digits, because I don't think that happens very often in women's basketball. And if we're coming into that era, the game is becoming more legitimate because you've got more skilled players that can, you know, put the ball in the basket, and that's the name of the game. And it's so fundamental, but that really defines, you know, the quality of play. So if they continue to move in that direction, I think the sport will even gain more acceptance. Plus, I quickly need to point out too, the NCAA got in a lot of trouble a couple of years ago when somebody did an article and compared the amenities that the men's Final Four teams got compared to what the women were receiving. And it was way in different universes. It was like, you know, the women are headquartered at the Holiday Inn and the men are at the Ritz-Carlton. So it was, you know, that's not a real example, but that was kind of the whole presentation that the women are second class citizens in this thing. And I think the NCAA now has even taken steps because, as we've talked about, that's all the NCAA really does now is conduct the college basketball tournaments. And that's where all their revenue comes from. So they might have stepped up their game a little bit and promoted this game better. And they'll start promoting the sport a little bit more because basically they have to after getting in trouble and avoiding, I think, some major lawsuits by treating the men's tournament so much more with so much more attention.
Then I think maybe the sport that really got all this started, or maybe the women that got us all started, were the women's soccer team.
Yeah.
I mean, we can throw in the drunk driving stuff and, you know, people beating the hell out of each other and the LGBTQ community being represented by players and Alex Morgan. They kind of took the world by storm. And again, if you're successful, you can afford to do that, because when you're successful, the eyeballs will be on you. When you're not successful, and no one pays attention to you. So I will not be listening to James Brown. It's a man's man's world today. I will not be doing that because kudos. The world has changed, my friend. But kudos to the women for what they're doing. And it's funny because I'm sitting there saying, I don't like the way the sportsmanship is headed. I don't like the way people are reacting and mocking other players. But yet it makes me want to watch their sport more so. So maybe we're on to something. Hey, Kip, well, great, great show, man.
Yeah, I'll leave one final message for our female sports heroes. You go, girls, but show some class.
Show some class. Keep it classy, Seattle. Kip Kiefer, the Kiefer and Curry Show. You can hear the show at least 5 times a week on the TKR app, Tony Curry Radio. Join the 100,000 folks who want to download the app. We got it for classic rock. Now we have 14 different shows, fantastic shows like Blues Almighty. We do the Damon Johnson Show, Need to Know, Mission Minded, the AC/DC Live Wire Wednesday Show, the Kiefer and Curry Show, the fast growing show on our platform. And of course, you go back and listen to all of our shows on Tony Curry Radio Podcast Network, wherever you get your favorite podcast. We're on every major indice out there. Just search for Kiefer and Curry and listen to our shows weekly. And next week, my friend, it's all you. I can't wait to hear what we're going to talk about, all right?
I'll look forward to that, Tony. And by the way, good game.
Good game.
Congratulations.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.